WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Rock groups celebrating 50 years of existence aren't too common, which is why the media generally makes a big deal out of it. But one such group had their 50th anniversary in 2014 without many people here noticing. The Hollies, though, are often overlooked in this country because they weren't virtuosos or showmen, and because the American disdain for pop meant that they didn't have the kind of big hits they had in England. Rock historian Ed Ward has their story today.
The Hollies were discovered in 1962 in, of all places, the Cavern Club in Liverpool by a producer from EMI Records who was checking out the beat scene. I say of all places because they were from around Manchester, Liverpool's arch rival in the world of pop music. They'd begun as a duo of Alan Clark and Graham Nash, friends from school days who'd performed as the Two Teens, but gradually added other guys to the band. The producer, Ron Richards, invited the Hollies to London to audition, and in 1963, after they'd added guitarist Tony Hicks, EMI signed them. Their first singles were covers of Black American pop records by the Coasters, Maurice Williams, and Doris Troy. Just one look. Doris Troy's Just One Look was their first substantial hit, going to number two in England, but only scraping the bottom of the American charts. For their next couple of records, though, the group wrote the songs themselves, with the Alan Clark, Graham Nash, Tony Hicks team coming up with Here I Go Again, which contained a lot of the elements that would eventually form their sound, particularly the vocals. Like any self-respecting British beat group, they started touring the U.S. on package tours near the bottom of the bill because they hadn't had any U.S. hits. That was gradually changing, though. Towards the end of 1965, their latest British smash got some traction over here. It only landed at 32 on the charts, but it was a solid slab of Hollies harmonies and put them on the U.S. map. After a couple more tries, they came through with a smash.
Bus stop, wet day, she's there, I say, be shell my umbrella. Bus stop, bus go, she stays, love grows under my umbrella. Some
just added a bassist, Bernie Calvert, on the day they recorded that. Some way to break in a new guy, huh? The Hollies' new visibility had a downside. As they got more popular during 1967, Graham Nash was secretly courted to join a supergroup with David Crosby of the Byrds and Stephen Stills of the Buffalo Springfield. At the end of 1968, he left the Hollies. The group's focus was now on Alan Clark and new member Terry Sylvester, recruited from the Swingin' Blue Jeans. They sat down with their producer, Ron Richards, the same guy who discovered them years ago and produced all their hits, and came up with a new sound, softer, without the jangling guitars. It made its debut at the end of 1969, and it was a smash.
The road is long.
Becoming a soft rock act ensured the Hollies' longevity, although their ability to find material didn't hurt. Over the next few years, they recorded versions of Bruce Springsteen's Sandy and Emmylou Harris's Boulder to Birmingham. Their last and biggest U.S. hit, though, was Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress, which sounded like Creedence Clearwater. They still record and tour, particularly in Europe, with a bewildering number of personnel changes, with only Tony Hicks remaining from the original band. And in 2010, they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Rock historian Ed Ward lives in Austin. The music he played is from the three-disc 50 at 50.